Let's go over to 1 Samuel 25:1. Did you get rain?
Yeah.
It rained out there. Praise the Lord for the rain. It was raining hard at our house, so we are grateful for the rain. I shut my garage windows. I said, Lord, I better shut these because it's going to rain. And I shut them, and 10 minutes later, it rained. Faith without works is dead, huh?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Well, we've been talking about transition. We know that we are in transition. Mm-hmm. In the time we're living in, we are moving from the church age to the post-church age. And it's coming upon us quickly. I like what Brother Jerry said. He said that in this time where we're moving into this new age, that not only does it seem like it's moving toward us quickly, but everything else is moving quickly, which means goodness should catch up to you very quickly. Good things should be happening to you. So I want to just give you a wisdom for the days of transition tonight. So, 1 Samuel 25:1. Now Samuel died, and all Israel gathered for his funeral. They buried him at his house in Ramah. Then David moved down to the wilderness of Maon. There was a wealthy man from Maon who owned property near the town of Carmel, whatever you like. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and it was sheep shearing time. The man's name was Nabal, and his wife was Abigail. Abigail's kind of an unsung heroine in the Bible. But she did something really cool here. So it says she was a sensible and beautiful woman. But Nabal was a descendant of Caleb, was crude and mean in all of his dealings. So the King James said that he was churlish. Remember that? He's churlish. So he was cruel, he was hard, he was obstinate. Not somebody you wanted to be around. And what we can see from just looking historically, this was probably an arranged marriage. That happened a lot. And so this is what we would say about her. Some people have to live with difficult people. And there's a way to live with difficult people if you have to live with them. We're not particularly going to go there tonight, but we may soon. But I will tell you this. We are all living with some difficult people right now.
Yeah.
In this country,
yeah.
In this nation, in this earth, we're living with some difficult people. And if you've seen the news for the last 3 days, this country looked like a third world dictatorship or something, the things that have gone on. And I don't mind saying that publicly. That's what it looked like. But let's get back to this. What we see here is that David's men, they've come along and they're out here and they're looking after some of Nabal's workers. They're out there at shearing season. So they're out there shearing the sheep. David has about 400 men out there, and they're kind of like a wall around all these guys. And the Bedouins were around in that area. They're the tent dwellers, and they actually are still in Israel. But they would like to come and steal the sheep. And so David's men actually were a wall and protected him from getting anything stolen. So he's actually helping Nabal. And so David sends a message to Nabal and says, you know, if he would just return the kindness and share some provisions. You know, we've been taking care of you. Would you mind? I think there was some sort of celebration time going on. He was like, would you share with us and, you know, give us some provision, something to eat and drink. And so Nabal, who lacks any social graces, just launches into him. And look at verse 10. He says, "Then Nabal answered David's servants and said, 'Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants nowadays who break away from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed for my shears and give it to men who I don't know where they come from?'" Now maybe that doesn't sound so harsh to you. Maybe that even sounds reasonable. But what we have to do, church, is we have to look deeper into what's going on in the scene. I want to say something to you, and if you can get your catchers on spiritually, you'll get more out of what I'm about to say. When a preacher or a prophet preaches a certain word, and they preach an event that's going on in the scripture, then the event will be manifesting in the room.
Yeah.
Is that too hard? Mm-hmm. So right now, this story is manifesting here in a way for you to pick up the event and get some. It's more tangible than you think. Yeah. If you'll start learning to do that when people are preaching, yeah, there are teachings that are just about subjects. But when there's like the woman at the well, if you put yourself there in the story and you get into the event, you're going to get so much more. So just kind of put yourself into this, and you'll see something a little higher than what you may have. So if you think a little deeper, who is David? That's what he's asking. Who's David? Well, if you looked at the first verse, you're going to get a clue. It said Samuel died. Now, Samuel is a prophet, and in those days, the prophet was the link between God and the people, right? Now Samuel dies. David is going to be, he's not yet, but he's going to be king. He's going to be the link between the people and God at this time. Nathan will come along eventually, but right now it's going to be the king that's the next in line in this time frame in the scriptures. And so was in the eyes of God, the link. Okay. Now, sometimes self-centered, hard people don't pick up on their link. I'm just going to say that again to you. You're just going to have to pick up my cues tonight. Sometimes self-centered, hard-hearted people will not pick up on their link, or they'll get the parable of what's going on, but they won't get the fluid in it, the fluency in it of what's really the truth in it, I'll just say. Okay. So Nabal's just like, so what? Okay. He's like, I don't care about this guy. So David's been on the run. He's been living a life of exile. He's kind of touchy. He's angry that he's had to be in exile. Saul's been chasing him. He's already been promised. He's already has an anointing. He was picked out by Samuel, right? He's going to be king, but he's not there yet. He's still on the run because Saul's not having it. So when Nabal shows this disrespect, David's going to go in there and just clear out the whole ranch. They're all going down. He'll just kill them all. He's mad. He's just about to make a big mistake. But the servants tell Abigail what Nabal did. And so listen to these words. She acted quickly. She heard about what was going on and she acted quick. She hastened. Sometimes we need to act quickly. That's for somebody. We do something and then we watch God do the rest. He'll do his part. Many times in your life, you're waiting. You need to know. You're listening for God. But there's going to be some time. What am I talking about here? In transition times.
Yeah.
In transition times, and this time we're moving into these new places. Sometimes you're just going to have to react. I'm not talking about being mad. I'm not talking about how David was going to react. I'm talking about how Abigail's going to react. Amen. She acted quickly. So she got her food together, got on the donkey, ran out there. I don't know how fast that was, but she goes to meet David, and then she falls on her face. We'll pick it up at verse 23. When Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey and bowed low before him. She fell at his feet and said, "I accept all blame in this matter, my lord. Please listen to what I have said. I know Nabal is a wicked and ill-tempered man. Please don't pay any attention to him. He's a fool." That's pretty rough right there. He must really be a fool. "Just as his name suggests," and that it did. "But I never even saw the men that you sent. Now, my lord, as surely as the Lord lives and you live yourself live, since the Lord has kept you from murdering and taking vengeance into your own hands, let all your enemies and those who try to harm you be as cursed as Nabal is." Nabal's now cursed. "And there is a present that I, your servant, have brought to you and your young men. Please forgive me if I've offended you in any way. The Lord will surely reward you with a lasting dynasty." Somebody's prophesying. "For you are fighting the Lord's battles and you have not done wrong throughout your entire life." She doesn't really know him that well. She's just talking out of the spirit. Why? What's she doing? She's looking on a deeper level. She's looking into the spirit of this, into the providence of this, as opposed to just what's going on between me and you. I'm trying to help you. "So even when you are chased by those who seek to kill you, your life is safe in the care of the Lord, your God, secure in his treasure pouch. But the lives of your enemies will disappear like stones shot from a sling. When the Lord has done all he promised and has made you the leader of Israel," prophesy, girl, "don't let this be a blemish on your record. Then your conscience won't have to bear the staggering burden of needless bloodshed and vengeance. And when the Lord has done these great things for you, please remember me, your servant." David replied to Abigail, "Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, who has sent you to meet me today. Thank God for your good sense. Bless you for keeping me from murder and from carrying out vengeance with my own hands. For I swear by the Lord, the God of Israel, who has kept me from hurting you, that if you had not hurried out to meet me, not one of Nabal's men would still be alive tomorrow morning." Okay, now remember we said David's not king yet. Saul's still after him. He's been anointed. He's moving forward. We don't really know that the world has seen this, so it really could be that she's actually prophesying. Either way, she's declaring it, and she's brought wisdom into a situation. Can I tell you that you can bring wisdom into a situation? Every person here is anointed to bring wisdom to de-escalate a situation. We can all de-escalate situations if we'll just watch, be willing to act quickly, maybe not act quickly as in popping off about something, but in downloading real quick, okay, Lord, what do we do right here? We go to the convention every year, and there's three or four people out in the front protesting. They stay until they get tired, and then they go home, or they have to go to work or whatever. And it's annoying. And it annoys some people so much that they can't resist fighting back with them. My wisdom is leave them alone and walk on. Just pray for them. If the Lord told you, maybe you need to say something to them, but they're going to be gone. It doesn't even make any sense what they're saying. It's just silly stuff. They just found an audience. A lot of times we're going to find ourselves in those situations where we're going to be doing things and someone's going to find an audience. There'll be people who will come in here. This is our flock. There'll be people who will come in here and try to pick themselves out some people to be their flock. It's the truth. Try to get them some little disciples going on their own. That's not God. That's not God. Now, We can de-escalate these things, though, if we use wisdom. If we use wisdom, we can take care of things without hurting people.
Yeah, that's
okay. And I don't just mean in here, but also just out in the world, in your job. You can de-escalate things if you're on board and you're listening. Now, so she makes David see that he doesn't need to get his own revenge. And if you think about that, that very act could have endangered his calling.
Yeah.
We could actually help people not endanger their calling.
Right. Well, that's good.
If we watch how we behave toward people. Mm. See, I think she's more of a hero than we realize.
Yeah.
She just went out and took care of it.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. So it's a really good thing to remember. Now, so then, you know, who saved who here? We say, oh, David's, he saved Abigail. You know the end of the story. He saved Abigail. Maybe Abigail saved David.
Come on.
Yeah. So now that's a really good thing to remember. So Nabal then throws a party and gets drunk. And so Abigail comes home and she's like, I ain't telling him nothing now. He's just drunk. He'll just go berserk, you know. So she waits till the morning and then she tells him what she did. Well, when he hears what she does, he has a stroke. It just unwinds his clock right there, you know. He's bing, goes off. And then 10 days later, he dies. Now, I would submit to you that he doesn't die because of what he heard. He's reacting to what he's laid out. He's reaping a harvest here. And so he's gone. So you know the story. David marries Abigail. She becomes one of his wives. So now here's the question. Some people would say, so Nabal's her husband. He's a man of bad character. He's a scoundrel, but he is still her husband. You know, did she throw him under the proverbial bus here? No, she saved him.
Yeah.
She saved him and she saved it. She wasn't out there, you know, she didn't lie. My husband's a stinker.
Yeah.
My husband's a fool. She told the truth. That's what his name meant. Thank God you all don't have husbands like that. Amen. Husbands, you can give me $5 later for saying that about you. No, I'm kidding. kidding. She actually was trying to save everybody. So he brought the death upon himself. Now, as for David, if you read the scriptures, you're going to find out that she was actually quoting a promise to him that if he would do right by his enemies, God would deal with his enemies. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. And that may mean a little something different than you think it does. That doesn't mean God's going to beat up the guy that stole your parking place. You know, it actually means I'll repay you for what they did.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be okay. I'll take care of them. Actually, their harvest will come to them. I'll see that you're rewarded back.
Amen.
Whatever they did to you. You know, if you catch a thief, what?
Seven times.
He has to pay seven times. Okay. So here's what we can actually take away here. When you look at what goes on in this scenario, you can remember that God knows and sees your plan. He already knows it. He already sees it. He already knows what's going on with you. You have to go tell him, Lord, you know, he's got it. Number two, sometimes you have to take action and sometimes you have to do it quickly. You have to have some sense about you to go ahead and go, no. You have to de-escalate things sometimes. Okay? Are y'all listening to me?
Yeah.
And then number three, trust. This is the main one. Trust the bigger picture. You have to trust the bigger picture. I was having a conversation with Jeff and John today, and Jeff was talking about, we were just mentioning the things that were going on right now. And he just said, I'm fine about it. And he was talking about trusting God. And I thought, that's exactly what I just wrote in my notes a few minutes ago. Trust the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I dare say this, I'm a double dog dare myself. But when President Trump said he was going to drain the swamp, We didn't know how deep that thing was. But if you look at the bigger picture, it's getting drained on all sides. It wasn't just this side, it was all sides. There's all sorts of things showing up, and you saw what showed up the last 3 days. It does seem unreal, doesn't it? But I was thinking about that. When this happened with her, notice she didn't run and pack up and run the other way. She got things ready and she headed toward what was likely to be the enemy. Yeah. We're not running. And I loved watching the patriots rise up. They rose up and said, no, these last few days, that we're not backing down. You're not going to win by doing these things that have just happened. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, church, we have to just get up and run. Run toward the enemy.
Yeah.
We've got to run toward the enemy. You've got your shield of faith. You've got your helmet of salvation. You've got the sword of the Spirit. You can get up and start praying and saying and declaring.
Amen.
And if she wasn't prophesying, she was at least declaring what would be true of David. God sees your plan. The word says he knows he has thoughts about you. He has for your good. It's going to turn out good. But we have to understand that as we're walking out our plan, we're in this world. And there's all sorts of things happening around us. So we have to continually look at the bigger picture. And when we're faced with these situations, sometimes we're going to have to act right away. I think I'm warning you. I think I'm warning you that there will come a day when you're going to need to act right away. Now, don't get any fear on you. You'll stand up and go, no, no. That's simple. Whether it's at the grocery store or the gas pump or in the coffee shop or what about this? You may have to do that to the TV right in front of you. Or to the next time they try to lock you down. Y'all are quiet. There's a bigger picture. And I just think that in this time of transition, we need to be ready. We don't have any fear. But we're not just going to run and hide. We're going to keep saying what we think is right. We're going to keep saying what the truth is. We're going to keep saying what the Constitution says. We're going to keep owning what belongs to us. And we're going to live in the kingdom. We're not going to be touched. We're living in the land of Goshen. The lights are on in Goshen. We're going to help the world. And sometimes we're going to have to say no to the enemy to help people who are just coming in. Church, I don't know if y'all realize this, but people are getting saved here every week. Teenagers, different adults are getting saved here. People are coming in and getting saved. And then Deb is winning the people that you call on the, like if you call, who'd you call?
Reservations.
The Marriott people are getting saved.
Guatemala and different places.
She leads them to the Lord. And they're like, yeah, I want to get saved. Thank you. People are not going to turn you down right now. They want to know. People are getting saved by the thousands right now. People are asking preachers right now, do you think we're in the end times?
Yeah.
Yes, we are in the end times. Well, is America going to fall apart? America will be great again. America will be in a great awakening. But that doesn't mean there's not darkness to deal with. These Americans right here are great. So, we, the church, are like Abigail. The king's coming. He's looking for an entrance into the lives of the people in the world. He's met with harshness. Oh, Jesus. We have other gods. gods, human gods, all these, whatever they think is their god. But the king is coming. But if we react wisely and we offer ourselves to him in worship and in prayer, and if we choose by faith to live in the kingdom and not just in the world, and if we choose to speak the right things to what we think, what needs to be spoken, we're going to have the victories. We need this wisdom that she had. She knew what to do. Now, you'll see a little bit more on this just in a minute as we're finishing. But get this out of what I'm telling you. She perceived something greater in the spirit than just a guy coming across wanting some food. Come on. She perceived something greater was happening. Well, it's just bad times out there. Perceive something greater is happening. The king is coming. Perceive that. So all hell is upset. You know why they pick on 45? Because they're afraid of him. See, she wanted to save lives. She did want to, but she perceived who David was. He was a link to God. He was a link to God, and she perceived that. Your link to God the Father is Jesus. Your link to God the Father and Jesus is the Holy Spirit. Now, this is what I wanted to get to. John 16:13 says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. There's a translation that says he will transmit. He'll transmit things to come. You can know and perceive and pick up the truth in situations. You remember what the Bible said about Jesus? He perceived that they were blah, blah, blah. He perceived that, da, da, da. Come on. This is something that's on you. You can perceive and pick up the links, pick up the divine appointments, pick up the wisdom to respond. This is all right now in you, and he is called Holy Spirit. And he'll transmit to you. Say this. Don't say that. Be quiet. No, I know you want to swing right now. No. Well, you know, just telling you the truth. Now, during the transmission, you're dealing with a bunch of nables around you, a bunch of churlish devils. They don't want to accept any favor. Don't want you to accept any favor to the link. But you will. You're capable of perceiving the bigger picture in any situation. Watch your clients. Watch what God does with your clients. You pick up a bigger picture. So, you know, let's say, the real estate people aren't here, but you know, now here's a house. This house fits your budget. It's a decent house, and you can live in this house, and you can get a loan for this, and it's on the street you like, and your kids will be in that school. It's good. Yeah. Or can you picture yourself in the kitchen every morning? The sun's coming through this window, and you can see your children playing out in the backyard. And your bedroom it's the eastern, faces the east, and they paint this picture. Right. That's the perception we need to be getting about people, and not just, yeah, this is, you put it on for $4.50 and blah, blah, blah. Right. You know, so see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You start looking into people's hearts.
Yeah.
If you look into people's hearts, you're going to find out things about them that could probably turn a key in your clients or someone you're ministering to. You look deep enough and you get the perception, and what's the link? Holy Spirit's linking you. And you perceive something bigger. Or what if someone's just obstinate to you? There's not a person within the sound of my voice that someone didn't hate you somewhere. Yeah. Except for maybe Deb. Miss Disneyland there. Well, we better not call you that now, or you'll be on the bad list. Okay, so, but, you know, everyone's had somebody. You could be wonderful and everybody in town loves you, but there's that one person mad because everybody in town loves you. But you can take care of that by having the right perception. One word can turn someone around. One word can turn them around. They could be mad at you. What did they say? Mad as a wet hen. I guess when hens get wet, they get mad. Anyway, I don't know. Cats do, don't they? They don't like getting wet. They could just be so upset with you, but you could say one thing. Brother Copeland had a temper in his early days. He got real hot. And one time he was mad and fussing, and Gloria reached up to him and grabbed him by the collar and pulled him over to her and said, "I'm going to be a blessing to you somehow." He broke. He cried. It just changed everything for him. Just those few little words. You know, she could have said, "Straighten up, Casey." Could be in a baby. She picked the right words to de-escalate his emotions instead of just straightening him out. That pastors, listen to me. I just told you something good right there. Yeah. Friends, wives, husbands, just by the choice words could stop something that could escalate. It's by the choice words.
Really good.
Well, I can't do that because I need to be right. You'll be right if you choose what Holy Spirit says for you to choose. A lot of times I just learn to say, "Well, you're probably right." Because what good is it going to do? Okay, we're probably right. If I'm right, the Lord will show it down the road. You're probably right. There's no sense in arguing over it. Sometimes when I'm talking to Deb and I don't like how it's going, I'll just say, "Let's just stop." And we do. And then in a minute, we're laughing about something else. "Let's just stop. We're going the wrong way." It's going to save us a lot of heartache and a lot of time if we learn how to deal with people like she did. Are y'all getting anything out of this? I know this is not my usual, I'm going to pump you up to, but I am pumping you up. You gotta be equipped for people, church, especially some of the stinkers out there right now. Looks like we have some Nabals trying to be in charge of the country right now. But the king is coming.
Yeah.
I'm just going to throw this out here to you, and so it can just drive you up the wall. And you can try to understand this if you want to. Understand that Jesus coming and Jesus appearing are two different things. Okay, you know that. Good. That's two different things. When the rapture happens, Jesus is going to appear. He's not going to touch down. He's going to appear in the sky. We're going to go. But right now, Jesus is coming. Right now, Jesus is coming. The glory is here. Jesus is coming right now. Every day, he's coming. Every day, he's coming. You're like, "Well, where is he?" Right now, he's coming. He's coming, the Holy Spirit. Right now, he's coming every day. Every day, he's moved. The age is changing and heaven is spilling over into this age. So just take the heaven, take the good stuff, and let the churlish people just go on and do what they do. Just take the good. Just marry up with the one that's linked up. And that's what happened to her. Amen. Let's finish this here. Right now, everything kind of looks rough. But we're not going to lose.
No, we're not.
The kingdom's getting closer and closer and closer. And there's more signs and wonders and miracles happening every day.
Yep.
Did anybody watch Healing School? See the little man get out of the wheelchair? So sweet. People are getting up. He told Kenneth, he said, I just feel like I need to get out of this wheelchair. He said, well, get on up. He just got up. People got healed. They had reports all for about an hour. People coming up and say, I had this and it was gone. And this is, I can see, I can hear. I mean, all kinds of things just coming forth. God is touching people. God is healing people. God is prospering people. God is releasing people from churlish people. And I declare and decree to you that we're going to be released from those that would try to lock us down and imprison us. Be ready to act. Be ready to say something. You understand what I'm saying when I'm talking about running toward something? You run toward the battle like David did. He ran toward Goliath. And he said, this is an animal without a covenant. I have a covenant with Almighty God. And I'm going to do this and I'm going to take you. He said what he would do and he did it. He advanced toward the enemy.
That's right.
Take courage. We're winning. We're winning. It may not always feel like it, but we are. You just have to take courage. You have to get out there, de-escalate the situations, get your reception down so that you can turn the key to people. She saved David. A big mistake. You can too. You can save a lot of people from making a big mistake. And you certainly can save yourself from making a big mistake. Amen. Y'all received this tonight?
Yes.
Just keep your eyes on the bigger picture. Always remember that God knows the plan. And just know, you're going to win. You're going to win. We're going to win. We're going to have the victory. He's like, oh, here's going to be the lie of the enemy for you. Well, if it's the end and things are getting bad, we might as well just give up. And oh, no, 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 no. See, we're moving in. We have the victory.
Yeah.
This is the time for the wealth transfer. You know that, don't you?
Yeah,
this is wealth transfer time. That's what the scripture says. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just.
Amen.
Like, well, I don't understand that. Well, it's just real simple. Money has been in the hands of people who aren't supposed to have it. You'll understand there's stacks of money in warehouses right now that are just from drugs and stuff. That money's going to come into the church.
Amen.
Well, I don't know if I want to touch that filthy lucre if it was got by. Hey, when it comes into my hands, it's clean.
Yes.
Remember, they got mad at Oral Roberts because the guy won $1 million at the dog races. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
Me and Deb do. We're old enough, I guess. Okay. You remember? Okay. So, they said, oh, I can't believe you took that gambling money. What did he say about it? Something like, I'll take any money that anybody wants to give me so I can spend it on the gospel. Just, I mean, don't be silly.
Yeah.
It's going to win souls. You know, the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just.
Yeah.
If people are getting it illegally, let's get it back into legally. Or I'm not saying gambling in that situation was illegal, but I'm just saying kingdom-wise, that's not the way to make your finances.
Right.
Amen. God is good. God is good. It's time for wealth. It's time for health. It's time for you to win. It's time for you to have the perception. You're dealing with your children. You're dealing with the places you work. You're dealing with the public. You're going to have that one thing to say that's going to turn their switch. Because you see a bigger picture. It just isn't them blowing up at you. Come on. It's not them just blowing up at you. There's something behind why they blew up. David was tired and angry and been on the run. But she de-escalated it. No, you don't need to do that. Here, I brought you all these goodies. We're going to have a barbecue out of here. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for blessing. We thank you for our link. We thank you for Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you have prospered us. You have blessed us. You have healed us. You have multiplied us. You have strengthened us. We thank you, Lord, that we are the voice of one crying in the wilderness, that we are raising up the valleys, taking down the mountains, decreeing, declaring what should come to pass. We thank you, Lord, that we have victory on every side. And Lord, we will watch and we will learn to act quickly when we need to act quickly. And we will learn to de-escalate when we need to. We can cause things to calm way down just by the Spirit of God that is in us. So we thank you, Lord, that the word says we have an unction from the Holy One. So I give you permission right now, Lord, to give me an unction any time you need to. And everybody said amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're glad that you joined us today. We're going to receive our offering right now. If you would like to give, we're going to put a text to give on the screen here. And Shelby will have that up for you in a second. There it is. You can text VCHL and the amount you want to give to 73256. Click the link, complete your gift, and it'll lead you through all the steps that you need to go. You can also, if you go to our website, you can find a place to mail in. You can, there are many ways to give. You can give online, however you choose to. You're blessed. We thank you. Many of you do send in offerings. We even have some people who've been watching online that are now officially coming to join the church. So we're grateful for that, and we bless you. And Gloria, if you're listening, we're glad to have you. Praise the Lord. God, is she listening? We're happy to have you. We love you, sis. So God is good. For those of you in the house, you know what to do. So we'll say goodbye to the internet audience. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory.